Good morning. This is Teresa de Grosbois, and welcome to How to Become a Best-Selling Author Level 2 Group Coaching Call. This morning, we're going to be doing something a little bit different. We're going to just go down some of the main questions people ask around problems they have on their campaigns. And if we can, we might have a special guest joining us a little later. We're just waiting to see if we can get her on the line. So what we're going to talk about this morning is how perfect do you need to be in order to run your bestseller campaign? In other words, a lot of people can stop themselves from worrying about whether or not they're hitting the 100% mark. And I do like to see students really go into doing as much of the work as possible. But that having said, you know, you need to give yourself permission to succeed sloppily, as the experts would say, and really still move forward and go forward with your campaign, even though there might be a few things wrong. This morning, I think we're going to have a special guest joining us, and I just want to check if she's on the line. Debbie, are you on the line?
I am. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can. Welcome. I'm so glad you made it. We had a little bit of trouble connecting you in, so I'm very glad to hear you're here. This morning,
we have the very
lovely Deborah Dashinger on the line with us. Deborah is the host of the award-winning radio program Dare to Dream, a show that's not about only daring to dream, but daring to make your dreams a reality. She's an amazing international speaker. She's worked all over the world. She's been featured in media all around North America. Just an incredible lady, and also a fellow member of an international council we sit on together, the Evolutionary Business Council. She's probably one of the most influential people in this realm, and one of our most recent best-selling authors. Debbie's book, Dare to Dream, just went bestseller. Congratulations on that, Debbie. It's really great to have you here this morning.
Excellent. Thank you for that.
So let's go right into it. This morning, you know, we're going to talk about the whole notion of you really want to do what you can, but there's a point where you just got to go forward and run your campaign, even if everything might not be perfect, even if there are issues that might come along the way, and really move forward powerfully, because a lot of people end up stopping themselves for fear that not everything is perfect, that not everything is right on the campaign. And something that some of you might not know about Debbie is that she didn't actually have a full campaign planned around her book. She's just so well-loved and so well-liked in the industry. This is a lady who so stands in her own passion and is so authentic and so congruent in what she does. Everyone just falls in love with Deborah when they meet you, Deborah. I find that's one of the most incredible things about you. And you came out one day and said, you know, my book's coming back from the publisher in a few weeks. I've just decided to set a big, juicy goal for myself, and I'm going to see what I can do to run a bestseller campaign around it with very little notice. And the really cool thing is that you pulled it off. Way to go, girl.
Well, first of all, I'm so glad you said everything you just did. And welcome to everybody. I wish I could see you. And I want you to know, and you hear this all the time, but I mean this, if I could do this, anybody could do this. Because as Teresa was just saying, things could go wrong. Things could be imperfect. And a little later on, I will share a little bit about some of the very imperfect things that happened. But in spite of them, I still ended up being a bestseller in three different categories. And in fact, as far as just a couple of days ago, I was still bestseller in one of the categories all these weeks.
Nice, nice. And, you know, I want to take you back because, you know, a lot of what I teach is around, you know, for this to really work effectively, and you were such a living, breathing example of this, Debbie, that, you know, if you stand in solving a really big problem for others and you're really passionate about it and you really are congruent and authentic with developing the relationships you need in your life, then word of mouth can happen in spite of your best intentions and or all the mistakes you might make. Word of mouth will happen about you without you even trying. And this was such a great example of that. I don't mean to suggest that you didn't try, But you had so invested in the foundation. You're just a walking, breathing example of what I teach in Spark, Fuel, Wind. So, you know, I'd love to explore that a little bit more from how did you first decide what you wanted your spark to be, you know, in terms of what's that problem you solve for others? How did you end up on this path? And how did you become Debbie Dashinger to just be so passionate about it, now hosting a radio program that goes out to millions, Southern California area? You know, I'd love to hear more about your story.
Sure. My experience in what I do, as a radio host, I get to sit across from virtual masters. And one of the patterns I've seen in them that is absolutely true in my life, and I'm sure is in most of yours, I find that a lot of people had a particular wound, something that they didn't feel enough of in their personality, that was a real issue for them, maybe it was something when they were young. But it's amazing how every single person took that issue, and once they walked through it, and that's, of course, the choice, you have to walk through it, you get to the other side and you find, oh, that issue is really my gift to the world. I get to show people how to do this. So my issue was I always felt like a failure. I always thought, everybody else but me, I can't do things. And I was in some of the toughest businesses to be feeling like that, because most of my life I was an actress and a singer. So that meant that my outside was reflecting my inside. So times I would go on auditions, I would not get the part. Times I would go on auditions, I would get the part. And it was really a lot of what was going on between my head. That was the most painful thing, was my own self-limiting thoughts. So I just got to a point where I realized I could live the rest of my life like this, or I could make a new choice. And if I made a new choice, that also meant investing in whatever it took to get rid of that goo inside that was holding me back. And invest I did a lot of healing work. And when I came out on the other side, here's something really interesting. Sometimes the feelings don't go away. Sometimes the fear is still there, or the trepidation, or the doubts, that still creeps up. But what I know today is I don't have to turn my power over to those feelings. Feelings are just feelings. It's just energy. And I'm going to walk through it. So I've decided that when my feelings like to creep up and they're saying, oh, you know, you can't do this or you couldn't possibly that, I go, gosh, thanks for sharing. That's so interesting. But guess what? I'm going to do it anyway. So I invite my feelings to come along on the journey so that I can show them that I'm actually much more powerful and limitless than they give me credit for. And then we all get to celebrate at the end. So that's my how, is that I realized how many dreams and goals I squelched and how painful that was. And when I came out the other side and was whole, was complete again, I made new choices that was never going to hold me back, and anything I could dream of or conceive of, I could live. Then my radio show came about, which was an incredible surprise to me. Never was my intention, by the way, to be on radio. Never. But clearly, I came in this life to use my voice. That much I know. When that opportunity came to me, I did take it. And once I got past the stage of having a trivia music show, the owners of a particular station said, we want to hire you full time. And it just flowed out of me that I wanted to teach people through my work and through interviews how to make dreams and goals come true. And 5.5 years later, I have a large listener following. I have syndication. I have a lot of awards. And I think that's because what you teach, Teresa, being behind what you're passionate about. And I figure if that was a void for me, it probably is for others. And how I picked my subject for my book is, I realized people listen to my show, love my show, but I was also hearing from them that they had a modicum of frustration. So I decided to go out and find out from people, what really is that frustration? What is it that's holding you back? What frustrates you? What gets in the way of you and your goal becoming your reality? And I was hearing from people patterns, doubt, fear, finances, lack of support. And there was about 10 bugaboos that I saw over and over again with people. And I realized that's my book. That's my way to help people in a way that my show hasn't. My show can inspire them, but if they really want a manual or a guide, I'm going to show them how. And that's where the book came about. And as far as the Sparks question, what's really interesting is that some of my Sparks started before the book was published. And that was, it was fascinating. So, for instance, when I went to create the cover of my book, I went to a site called 99 Designs, which is fabulous. So I gave them all the information, the pictures, what I wanted on the cover, the spine, the back, gave them the dimensions, the bleed or trim, you know, just general information like that. And 99 Designs basically said, you know, you'll be lucky if you get between 0 and 24 designers who submit. And I thought, that's not a very good number. I like bigger numbers to play with. So I purposely wrote my ad that would really excite people, the creative folks out there, and make them want to submit their work. Also, every single thing that 99 Designs told me to do, I did. They said, rate them. Write back to everybody who submits, you know, so you create more excitement in them to submit more, change their designs, because other people will be following the designs. They said create contests. So each day I take on another piece of that. Well, I did a contest, and here's the really funny thing. The contest was only meant to be between my friends and colleagues for them to look at my top 5 cover possible designs and vote on it. But somehow, somebody got a hold of it on Facebook, who really is barely an acquaintance. I don't even think I've ever met them. And they sent it out to all their friends. And then someone else, who I don't even know, sent it out to all their friends. And this started happening in a big way, and I was sitting back going, oh, I don't really know if I want to hear from these people what they think of my book cover. But then I thought, genius, fabulous. This is building wildfire about my book right here. Hasn't even been published. And all of a sudden, everybody now knows the title, what the cover may look like, and they have a stake in it. They have an investment because they're voting on my cover. So I sat back and I went, woo, go ahead and vote, honey. This is just great fodder building up to the actual publishing. So there were things like that that actually occurred before the publishing of the book that took on a life of its own and I think ended up helping me in the long run.
Yeah, it really is all about the energy, isn't it? It's, you know, how much excitement can you create? And, you know, the thing a lot of people don't get is a lot of those little exercises of going out and asking people for help, asking people for advice, is actually relationship building with those people. And then they become part of your raving fans that word of mouth the book when it comes out, because they're like, oh, I helped pick the cover for that book. And, I helped Debbie, or I heard Debbie's radio show, or whatever it happens to be. It's all just energy, isn't it?
You know, beautifully said. And I think that is probably why I did well. Lord knows I did so much wrong when I wrote my copy. Apparently it's supposed to be written so people think, oh, what am I going to get out of the book? But I sort of wrote it, this is why you should buy my book. It was really a lot about me. There were so many little things or big things that I did that wouldn't necessarily be correct or appropriate, but what I did do that was just authentic was I really was so excited. I think I was so excited about getting this book out that everybody could feel that, and I saw people jump on. It blew my mind, the kindness of people and the lengths that they were willing to go to help, to get the word out. I mean, it felt like it was their project at some point, you know, the way that they were talking about the book and letting everybody know. And some people even let everybody know, and then they let them know again. And then another week went by, and then they Twitter again. I was just watching it. You know, your analogy of wildfire is exactly correct. That's what happened. The fuel was lit, and it just, I sat back and watched it happen, and I had so much appreciation for everybody picking up on the energy and running with it. Excitement is contagious.
It really is, isn't it? And, you know, it's such a testament to who you are, Deborah, because you know, with the relationships you've built within the Evolutionary Business Council and within your business community and through your radio program, you know, the interesting thing is if you do have that relationship capital built up and these really strong relationships, you know, I remember when you set that big juicy goal, you know, a phone call to me for some coaching, and I think Elaine and Dean Edelson were helping you, and, you know, other people just jumped in and said, you know, Debbie, you've been so giving to the business community. You've been so helpful to other people. Let us catch the bowls you're dropping. And I remember throughout the week, you know, a lot of people in the influence community and the business community, a lot of fellow members of the Evolutionary Business Council would be calling and saying, who's got time to help Debbie? Because she made a mistake there or she made a mistake here. And it was so fun to watch the community just rally around you and say, yeah, this is a lady who's earned it. She's done so much investing in building in relationships that we're going to carry her there for her. And I loved watching that happen. And I would love to have you comment a little bit more on, you know, what is it that people need to know about building those powerhouse relationships?
Okay, absolutely. So on the backside, I will say that people like Lynn Morrell and Dave Albano got so excited when they saw what happened that, and this was all on their own dime. I never asked them. They did this. They were just so excited that when they watched my book become bestseller the way it did, they sent out blogs to their very large databases. So we talk about reciprocity, you know, the cycle of giving back and forth. And then what I did is I had created a press release, so I mentioned them, and I mentioned their blogs and gave them quotes. There were times when things went wrong, but wrong is a perception, right? So, for instance, one of our heavy hitters, a transformational leader, Harrison Klein, was supposed to have helped me, but Harrison didn't show up on the day or the days when he was supposed to. So I could have gotten into that. Like any point in this whole process, a million things happened and I could have gotten into it. But I was really clear my energy had to be like a choo-choo train moving ahead, you know, no attention on that perception. But I love Harrison Klein. He is my buddy. And I want to tell you, it was perfect because he may not have shown up on the day of the bestseller launch. But what happened is, a couple of days later, he checked in with me, and he said, I'm going to do – he was out at dinner, and he left the dinner table to call me. And he said, I'm going to do whatever it takes to help you. So he got his virtual assistant, Robert, to give me a call, and then Robert sent something out on my behalf. And that happened with a few people, and I thought, well, that's cool because it's like a wave that keeps giving. So even after the actual day of the bestseller, there still were a lot of sales going on because of things like that. As far as what went into it on the front side, you know, it was about locating partners, telling people, this is what I want, can you do it? There was no assumption on my part that anyone would want to do it because it's a commitment. But anyone who said they would either send out a blast on my behalf or they would be willing to give a gift, a bonus gift on my behalf. I made note of that so when the day came, I could reach out to them. And here, I'm going to tell you one of the most important things. I decided after I talked to you, Teresa, because I got really scared. I was so scared. I thought, oh, my God, this is a huge undertaking. And I realized, I just got very quiet, and I realized, you have to decide. That's the bottom line. If you waffle, your outside is going to reflect waffling. If you step into this sucker 100%, that's what's going to happen. You're going to have 100%. Whether you become a bestseller or not, not important. You'll know you gave it 100%. And that's what I did. I stepped into it completely, and that was huge. So I created a consciousness. I can have what I want. I deserve what I want. And I supported myself in any downtime with really nice stuff. So I couldn't get into any fear. I had no room for fear. So I would listen to Blessings by Ann Taylor, you know, anything that filled my space with beautiful stuff. I sent out emails to ask people who were my partners, who agreed to be my partners for my best-selling campaign. And I gave them exact verbiage with the character count for Facebook, for Twitter, for LinkedIn and also for newsletters. So they had their own copy. People put together awesome bonuses. So I had about 15 to 20 people. Actually, I think it ended up being 22 people. And I created a table that had their name, what the gift bonus was, and the direct link. It's a win-win for everybody because everyone who donated a bonus, I got to drive business to their website. And that worked out. A lot of people claimed that, and part of the claim was you must buy the book on such and such a day, and then you'll get these free bonuses. I gave it a price tag. I thought it was easily worth $1,500. I wrote a letter to my radio people, or your colleagues, whichever it is, and just let them know what I was doing. I send out press releases about my book launch, and press releases is an art because things have to really be newsworthy. It can't be salesy. So I did create something that was very newsworthy about the upcoming book, and I made sure that buyers have a direct Amazon link. And then when everything was done, of course, lots of thank yous to partners, another slate of press releases, and appreciating all the generosity that came my way. And I would say that was pretty much the before and after of what happened.
Wow. Thank you for giving that really detailed description because it's so such a great way to describe. I remember talking to you on the phone beforehand, you know, trying to fire hose you with all the little things you needed to do. And I remember saying, you know, Debbie, worst case, we'll call it your test campaign and we'll give it another run in a couple weeks, you know, because at some point, there's a leap of faith you take, and I so loved it that you just dove in headfirst and said, no, I'm doing this, and the results were just incredible in terms of how many people just rallied to support you and help you fix anything that was wrong or bolster up anything that, you know, was a bit weak in some areas. I loved it. It was just such a miracle watching it happen. And it was a miracle whose seeds I think you planted years ago when you made the decision to become highly of service to the world. Because that community that rallied behind you is a community you've so been investing in for the past several years. It was just amazing to see them get the opportunity to give back to you. And that's, you know, such an important relationship I love to see students get. That in playing the influence game, you've got to be gifting influence to other people because it kickstarts that amazing energy of people just so having your back. And this was such a great example of a large community of people just so having your back because you stood in the belief of it and were really courageous and you had so earned the right to have this happen. I just loved watching that happen for you, Debbie. I just want to take a pause here at this point. Because I see we have quite a few callers on the line. I want to just remind everyone that you can come on at any time and ask questions of me or Debbie about anything we're talking about here this morning. Or if you've got a real nuts and bolts question and you're stuck on something and you just want a little advice on how to deal with Amazon or how many books you need to print or anything like that, feel free to come on and ask. What you need to do is hit *7 in order to unmute yourself. I'll see that you have your hand up on the dashboard. And we can bring you on. So just want to invite you to do that at any time, even when we're still speaking, because I'll see that you want to speak and I'll stop the conversation and let you ask your questions. So let's move into some of the real nuts and bolts things, Deborah, because I know some of your brilliance has been how much you've invested in helping other people get bigger in the influence game. And one of the tools you've been so brilliant at is having a radio show. And I love how you described that earlier because sometimes when we stand in our passion and what we're really good at, you know, the universe just throws opportunities at us and we just have to be a hell yes when that happens and move into it. But it starts with us starting to walk down that road and then the opportunities start coming at us when others see how serious we are about making a difference in the lives of others. So for those of my students and those listeners on the call that have dabbled in things like Blog Talk Radio or radio programs, and this is truly an area where your brilliance lies, I'd love it in terms of what would be the top coaching, the top pointers that you'd give people if they want to use that as something in their toolkit to help them build up the kind of relationships that you so developed or so demonstrated in spades here that would help you put a book on the bestseller list. So let's just start at the number one. What would be your top piece of advice for anyone who wants to use radio or Blog Talk Radio as a tool to really bring their message forward?
You know, you just talked about it, and I have a word that is leverage. So we know leverage is influence. Leverage is influence with love. And I love what I do. I really love what I do. And I would say if you're going to do radio, please love it, because it really will reflect back to you. And you don't have to love the institution of radio, but find what you love about it, whether it's your guest or, you know, find your niche. Make it really different, because there's a lot of shows out there now. And what happens is, you know, what a great question this was, Teresa. It's so apropos. What I found over time, I was committed to shining the light on people who came on my show. That's how everything started. And I thought, I want the planet to know there are such great people out there doing great work. They don't have to suffer. It doesn't have to be difficult. They can look at a website and in 2 seconds pick up an amazing coach or an amazing healer or amazing leader, workshop, whatever it is they need, it exists already. Those people are out there doing this work already. Let's just let them know who they are and how to get to them. And that grew into my decision to then, because, of course, I was learning as I went along, I wanted to start doing marketing for people because I realized that would be a win-win. I'd market the heck out of somebody after the show, and then I'd also be marketed by virtue of that. And I'm sure that's a big part of how I grew my show besides my subject matter. And over time, I really have developed relationships with people. I do have an actual station where I work, so that means that people can physically come there, and there's a lot of magic. There's a synergy that happens. In fact, I would never have met Teresa if Charmaine Hammond hadn't come into my station with her dog and her husband and spent a couple of hours with me, and then we became friends. And there are other people as well who down the road played a big part, like Marcia Weider spent time with me, Hale Dwoskin. And these people ended up writing testimonies for my book. So for me, it was about leverage. And I'll tell you the really powerful thing. It was Teresa, guys, that was calling me because I swear I didn't know what was going on. I thought the day of the launch, poof, I'd done everything. Cool, I could go get a facial. I could finally go relax. I was so exhausted. And I thought I was going to leave my house. And she called and she's like, oh, no, you have to stay at the computer all day. I'm like, what? She's literally coaching me in the moment. And I stayed there and watched what happened. And when Teresa made one of a couple calls to me after that said, are you sitting down? You are now officially a bestseller. We got off the phone. Wow, what an emotional moment. I just had this huge moment where I said, this is yours, kid. This is yours for everything you've given like this for 5.5 years, for every light you've shown on somebody else. Wow, what payback. Like to have it all that condensed and in that moment. It was humbling, and it just made me feel so good. It really did make me feel the benefits. And I had never done what I had done for benefits, but I got it. I got it in that moment, what that was. And so when Teresa talks about this language of love, doing business with love, really connecting with people, I'm sure what all of you do, you really, really like. And when you come at it, you know, connecting to the soul, the essence of somebody else, and really wanting the best for them, seeing the best in them, it can make such a huge difference. Everything from business relationships to how you end up networking afterwards to who you end up meeting because of them to doing further business with them in the future. I mean, it's really exponential to the ways they could show up for you professionally and personally, unbeknownst to you in the future. And I would say that really was the key. It was just the efforts I put in without thinking about it, but because it felt like what I was supposed to do, and then that beautiful payoff. And I'll just keep doing what I do because I love it, and I really do love the people that I meet, and I really do feel that they're all very important to be known. That's my secret.
I'm getting teary-eyed here. You talking about that moment when I called you. It's such a big miracle moment, isn't it, when you first realize you're on that list and, you know, all that energy has come back to you, and it's kind of like the universe saying one big, huge hell yes to the road you're on, isn't it? So I love it, too, that you've kind of highlighted for people, do what you love and love what you do. Because that's so aligned with what I teach about the fuel in your wildfire. Because, you know, I so often meet students who say, I'm not good at writing. You know, I can't do a blog. Or, you know, I suck at radio and I can't do live stuff. Or I'm not a great writer and I don't know what to do because I can't put my thoughts in writing, but I'm good at speaking to people. And the reality is, you know, the universe made each of us differently for a reason. And that's why there's so many different tools out there that you can choose from. And I love it that you picked one that's so aligned with who you are and where your strengths are. You chose radio, and you are so amazing on radio that, you know, anyone in the world of transformation knows Deborah Dashinger, because almost anyone who's anyone has had you help them along the way become bigger and more influential. So I just love it that you highlight that point. In terms of just, you know, pick the tool that you're good at. And if you want to be a radio host, start with Blog Talk Radio. Show people that you can be good at it, or start with doing teleseminars. If you want to be a writer, start with blogging. And either way, if you stand in the energy of doing what you're great at, you know, 5 years down the road, you'll be Deborah Dashinger being interviewed by someone else about the amazing, incredible bestseller ride that they just had and how it's still going. So I love it that you highlight that, Deborah. It's so fun watching what happened with you there.
Yeah. What good points you made, too. Thank you. Because I don't think I'm a writer either. I mean, and I resisted this, you know. Three and a half years ago, there was a gal on my show. She's become quite big now. There was a gal on my show, and when she was done with the interview, we're still friendly. And she started writing me, you have to write a book. That was how our email started. You have to write a book, and it would be so amazing. And she even sent me a mock-up book cover. She was so sweet. And I went, ha, 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 that's great. Not for me. Got lots on my list, but that's not one. She was relentless. I mean, this went on for a year. She would send me people who helped books move along. She would send me, oh, so-and-so's doing a workshop. And I'm finally like, hello? I really don't want to write a book. I swear, when I look back, it was so prophetic. She knew something I did not. It's like the universe was trying to give me a wake-up call through her, and I resisted her so much. Of course, once the book was done, I had to write her and say, okay, you win. You were right all along. Because now I know I want to do a second book. But I really want people to know, look, I'm no John Irving. I'm no, you know, fill in the blank. I'm not that. That's okay. It doesn't mean I don't have a message to get out. It doesn't mean that the way I express myself isn't viable. It is. I've already heard from people reading my book how much they're enjoying it. And that is, are you kidding? That's so cool. That's the most amazing thing. And I know there are many ways a book can be done. I'm sure you can speak a book into a microphone and have someone transcribe it. You could, just like Teresa says, you could blog and then create those blogs into a book. You could actually sit down for an hour every day with a timer, and when the timer starts, you write, and when the timer ends, you stop, and just do that. And before long, I would imagine in 30 to 90 days, you could actually have a book. But, you know, if your soul feels called to it, you know, tick, tick, tick. That's all I know. Tick, tick, tick. Life goes very fast. And it's so important to do the things we dream of doing. Just give them expression. There's a reason why they're there. If we have the dream, we have the power to make it come true. That I know.
Absolutely. And so I just want to remind our callers that if you want to come on and ask a question or just chat or put in front of us a problem that you're struggling with, you're speaking to not only me but a lady who just went through it all in spades. So feel free to hit *7 and unmute yourself. I'll see that your hand's up, and I'll bring you on at a good pause in the conversation so you don't have to worry about when you hit *7. Debbie, I know there's going to be people who want to read a copy of your book, so let's just pause here for a moment and tell people how they can get in touch with Debbie, how they can get more Debbie Dashinger, and where they can get a copy of your book.
Beautiful. Thank you. There's so many places, and my website is deborahdashinger.com. It's D-E-B-O-R-A-H. The last name's Austrian, so it's D-A-C-H. I-N-G-E-R, deborahdashinger.com. You can click there. There's a page just for the book. Also, it's being sold on Amazon.com. The title is Dare to Dream, This Life Counts. Dare to Dream, This Life Counts. And it's on Amazon.com. I'll give you the number of the book. You could just put this in the search, 1-4-6-7-9-3-0-4-1-8-1. It's 1-4-6-7-9-30-0-4-1-8-1. 814. You'll learn that when you do your book. It's my ISBN number. Or just do a search under Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, or Dashinger, D-A-C-H-I-N-G-E-R.
Fabulous. Thanks, Deborah. Okay, let's actually go deep into the whole conversation. Those people that might want to use Blog Talk Radio or radio as part of their platform for really building relationships with others. Because I know it tends to split right down the middle. Half my students love writing, half my students love speaking, and they want to get at the book and the platform building in the speaking route. And this is something you're truly a master at, Debbie, so I don't want to lose the opportunity of having you coach my students in how do you become a master at giving a really great interview that's really helpful to others and relationship building. So you've talked about some of the top things to do. I'd love to explore the conversation of what are some of the biggest mistakes people make on the radio or interviewing others. And actually, let's approach it from the standpoint of either being the host and interviewing people or being the guest. What are some of the big mistakes to avoid? Because I think that would be really useful to those people wanting to use this tool in terms of building their platform.
So funny that you're bringing this up, because I'm actually creating an MP3 as a product on how to be a great radio interview. So I'm just dealing with this subject matter. It's really important,
actually. When you
get
the link for that, will you send it back to us? Because we'll put it with the recording for this call, because I know some of my students will be wanting that.
Beautiful. I'd be happy to. And it's just so important to do, to really do a great interview, because it can make or break you. It can open doors or keep them just where they are. As far as being a radio host, you know, I would say part of the job is that you have to learn technical equipment, anything from computers to sound to mics. The other piece is an energy piece, and that's how you connect with people on your show. From a field space, from a because when you do radio, not everybody comes to my radio station. A lot of people are on the telephone. That's more work for me personally, not for everybody. But for me personally, it is, because I have to work harder. I'm so visual when I can't see somebody. So I have to literally connect with energy in order for it to flow. And I would say for radio hosts, it's not about you. It's about them. Listen and shine the light. You don't want to genuflect to anybody. That's not it. You want to be yourself. At the same time, it's like having a really profound interest in somebody. Part of what I do to create that is I really, really research people. So Teresa may be coming on my show, and I'll say, hey, I know you came from a really big family. I may know little tidbits about Teresa that may surprise her, but it's not about surprising her. It's about getting more connected, more deep, more interesting. So I would say always listen, do a little research beforehand, aside from what they do, do something more deep, and then shine the light on it. It's not about hearing about your life. I mean, of course, conversation's great. You have to go there sometimes as well. But it's like playing tennis. you know, and you just have to know when to volley that ball back and let it stay in their court and keep it going. And also you need to know, energetically, you can feel we've been there enough and we need now to have something new and fresh to talk about. You keep the listeners interested that way. As far as being someone being interviewed, that's a, frankly, a, to me, a much bigger conversation. There are so many parts to it. The first part is you want a website that anyone can access in a moment that will have your online press kit and that's got pictures of you, you know, really good pictures of you, headshot and so forth. It's got a bio. It's got something in the business we call talkabouts, which is 5 to 10 questions you want asked, which has any notable awards that you've won, anything that somebody should know about you. And one way I'll be very succinct, if you know a couple of people in your business who are fabulous, that are really successful, go to their website, just look at their online press kit, and that's the vibe you want to get. You'll see exactly what it looks like. After that, it's really important, obviously, to be on time, whether you're physically there or on the telephone. It's really important to, if you're brand new at it, do a couple of rounds with some friends and a tape recorder so that you start to feel some confidence. Listen to the question being asked. Answer the question. On radio, you want to keep it succinct. Occasionally, of course, you can go into a story because stories are wonderful. Mostly, you want to really answer the question and lob the ball back. Here's something you can do. Start listening to radio. Pick a couple of shows that you love. Check out my shows. In fact, you don't even have to listen to my show live. Just go to DeborahDashinger.com. All the interviews are archived, including one with Teresa, and listen to them. See which guests you like. I mean, that's the best research in the world, and you'll start to say, oh, I see what all these people do. I see how they respond. I see what the energy is like. And emulate those. And just as beneficial is to figure out who doesn't work, who's speaking, who's being interviewed that's like, womp, 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 womp. I don't have many of those people on my show. But if you listen to a couple of different hosts, you will hear some people, including hosts at times, and you'll say, that really doesn't work for me. Figure out why it doesn't work, and then you know what not to do.
Brilliant. I love that, actually. Yeah, such great advice. Well, and I love it that you highlight the notion of, you know, really practicing and having the, you know, have your sister interview you on the phone or have someone else. Because then when you show up, you can be present and in your body and powerful and really make it a back-and-forth conversation that flows like an everyday conversation would instead of, you know, having it where one person's nervous and trying to really draw the questions out of the other. I think that's so important. So what else,
yes,
Deborah? Actually, you know what? Before we go further, I know you having just mentioned your radio show, there's going to be folks that want to listen to it, especially for folks who are in the California area. Tell us how people would be able to get on and hear your radio show as well as hearing the archived edition.
You bet. Well, my show is worldwide, so even if you are calling in from Russia or China or any country outside of the U.S., you can also listen. So the bottom line, of course, is my website, DeborahDashinger.com, for all radio shows and archives. In addition, if you go to Indie100, INDIE100.com, that's the radio station I air out of. And on that station, I'm on 5 days a week, Wednesday through Sunday. And it's simple. You could just click on air shows, and it'll show Dare to Dream. And I'm also on stations back east, but I think that's probably the simplest, WXMR back east, in New York and Vermont, Pittsburgh, and so forth. Again, it's worldwide, so anyone can tune in, and I'd love you to. It's a really fun, inspiring show.
Brilliant. Thanks, Debbie. I know people are going to be wanting to listen to you after listening to this call, so I really want to encourage that, too. I think your show's one of the best going out there, and I, of course, go online, but there's lots of ways to get Debbie Dashinger, so I'm glad you pointed out some of the others. What would be some of the other mistakes you see people make as guests on the radio? What are some of the big things to avoid when you're actually on the call?
Okay. I'm going to go for it here. So, over-talking. This doesn't happen much, but once in a great while, I will have somebody who just talks so much. Our friend Sean Duperron, Teresa's and my friend Sean Duperron, calls this vomiting on people. And it's not too far from the truth. You know, people have a small attention span. And when they're listening to radio and they can't see you and they want a rhythm and a flow, if someone's just going on, I can promise you after the first paragraph, you're losing them. And if you go on much more than that, two paragraphs, three paragraphs, four, then they're gone. They're either going to physically click you off, or they're going to mentally be doing other things and not hear a word you say. So it's very important to be succinct. And you can practice that in your everyday life. Other things you can do wrong. I had a guest who came on. He's an actor. I'm going to keep this anonymous, but he's an actor. I happened to go to college with him. So he knew me, and he had a movie coming out, and so he called me at the last minute and said, can you help me? We're screening the movie on such and such a night in Hollywood. I'd love to come on your show. Well, I had someone booked, but I contacted that person. I was able to make this work and get him in. So the other person I was able to reschedule. They're very nice about it. Well, the night comes. Now, I've never had this happen aside from this. The night comes, tick, tick, tick. He's not on time. Tick, tick, tick. 30 minutes go by. Oh, my God. I'm thinking, I don't have a show in the can. What am I going to do? Well, he was so late, and when he finally got there, all he could talk about was, we're moving. My cell phone got into a box. I don't know what box it was in. I didn't have this. I didn't even have your phone number. I had to drive like crazy to get it. So I listened to all his excuses down the hallway. So can you imagine what I'm feeling like? He's so crazy late. I'm going to have to work like the devil now to get this corrected. And he's full of excuses. He never once apologized. So he sat down. He's a great interview. He's an actor. I mean, he's a really outgoing guy. He was funny. He was interesting. He's bright. We did a great interview. The interview was done. He left. I never heard from him again. No thank you. No card. Nothing. And most people do that, by the way. They always follow up with a card thanking me, or an email. Sometimes, you know, I'll get like a Starbucks gift card, nothing. About a year later, I heard from him. His wife, who is also an actress, had something big coming up, and he said, oh, can you get her on your show? I'll give you one guess what I did. Of course she didn't come on the show. She could have been the most lovely person on the planet, but there was so much damage that had happened. I went to great lengths to help him. And after that experience, never, never, never. No. You know, you can't deal with people who are not responsible. What else? I have so many. Actually, I'll let you know my MP3 link for sure, because I have a lot of stories on there about people and what not to do. And I guess the other thing is complainers. Again, you have to understand these stories for me are so rare. I deal with such professional people. Some of these are more like in the very beginning, the first year of my show. But I had another gal who was clearly technically challenged. And always when the show was done, I sent an MP3 link so they can keep it on their website and distribute it to their potential clients and so forth. This gal could not download the MP3, and it became, I don't know, 20 emails from her of kvetching and carrying on. And I have to be professional, but in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I cannot work with this person because she doesn't know enough to either hire someone who understands technology or find someone near and dear to her and say, I'm having trouble, help. And they could have helped her in 2 seconds, because how hard is it to upload an MP3? But she didn't. So by the time we were done, it was just like, oi. And I remember she wrote to me and said, can you give me a recommendation on LinkedIn? It's like, eee.
I'm not sure
about that. So, you know, you have to be really clear about the relationships you build. It starts from the moment you agree to be on someone's show, being on time, getting everything in, really having appreciation, because someone's going out on a limb, they're probably advertising you, they're researching you, they're putting a script together for you, they're going to shine the light on you, they're going to make sure the MP3 is there, it's probably going to podcasts, RSS feed, you know, maybe press releases, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, a million potential outlets. Always, always appreciate what they're doing for you. And when it's done, it really engender yourself to them and do write a thank you. Have great appreciation because you're developing also that relationship for the future. I will tell you that I've had people come to me who I've not interviewed, but professional people, and say, you know, Deb, I'm looking for someone who can do this and this. Is there anyone that you've interviewed that you might recommend? And I keep everyone's name, number, and website. And I do recommend people. So just know that that's just one idea of what can happen. But then the networking also is exponential. I know tons of radio hosts who we sometimes share people. You know, oh, you got to interview this person. They were amazing. You know, love them. Great person. Really professional. Great stories. So you are developing your business in many ways by doing this. So just, you know, treat the people well.
Oh, brilliant. You know, and that's so important. People invest so much in building relationships, and then they forget about the notion of maintaining them. And I'm so glad you point that out, because often it's that follow-up, it's the thank you, or it's the sending them energy back in some ways that makes such a huge difference. And, you know, it brings to mind another point I want to raise, because I think you do it so brilliantly, and I really want to point this out. You know, Deb Dashinger, you could talk for an hour and have no back and forth, and it would be absolutely fine because you're so engaging and so brilliant, and your energy is just so on that, you know, I just fall in love with you, and I could listen to you talk for 20 minutes, not that you do, but I could. And I think that's something you've role modeled here this morning so well, that when you just let yourself sit in your passion and be so of service to others, it really does get easy if you give yourself permission to just play big and be exciting and be fun and just love being of service to other people. I think that's one of your true brilliances, and I just want to thank you for role modeling that so lovely here this morning.
Oh, thank you for inviting me, Teresa. This was wonderful.
Oh, it's been a real joy. And we're coming to the end of our time here. You know, and I know I had a time commitment to you to be done before the end of the hour because you were a last-minute guest, and you've been so lovely in coming on last minute. So I just want to take a moment before we close off to make sure folks know how to get more Debbie Dashinger, because I know they're going to want to follow you here. This is my private coaching students that are in my courses. So these are people that really fire and wanting to learn more. So give us your websites and give us the how to get your book as well very quickly again, Deborah.
Dare to Dream This Life Counts is the name of the book. Dare to Dream This Life Counts is on Amazon.com. It's ISBN 1467930814. And my website is DeborahDashinger.com, DeborahDashinger. You can also join me on Twitter, Deb on the Radio. I have a Facebook fan page, which is Dare to Dream Radio and TV. And I'm excited to meet you all.
And I just really want to encourage everyone, please follow Deborah and tune into her radio show, because this is a lady you want to learn from. You've had such an amazing impact on my life. Your friendship has been such a gift to me, Deborah. And thank you so much for coming on for our coaching call this morning. I so appreciate having you here.
Thank you, Teresa. And I just want everybody to know that if it wasn't for Teresa, I wouldn't have a bestseller book. And I mean that. She's the one who gave me the timeline that I was looking at. And she, you talk about lighting fires. Boy, did that get a blaze going. So she is the real deal. She got me going in that moment. I knew I had a choice to make. I was in or I was out. I'm so grateful I chose in. And I want you to know that she was the one making the calls to me when everything was happening so fast and I didn't even know what was going on. I'm so green I could be on a hill of grass. And she was right there with me, helping, guiding, telling me what was going on. And she was just as excited as if it was hers. So I have deep gratitude for you, Teresa. Thank you, thank you. This book, I owe so much to you. I am so appreciative.
Oh, you're so welcome, Debbie. It was truly a joy. And there's the message to all of you listening in. Really dare to dream. Dare to dream about being a best-selling author. Dare to take action. Make it happen. You don't have to be perfect. If you've invested in the relationships will carry you there. Deborah Dashinger, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Teresa.